Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Kyle Finnegan getting ready for Detroit. Now the 2-1 to Arias. Slow chopper to first. That'll get the go-ahead run home. 3-2 Cleveland, and a ball still has not left the infield.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
To the gap. Left center field. And touches down. Base hit. Riley scores. JP's waving home. Julio to the plate. Josh Naylor.
Brandon Sprague.
One pitch away.
Ball game! You can't forget about next year. The Mariners are going to the playoffs.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy hump day, Andrew.
What is happening?
I'm just here doing a radio show. That's what's happening,
You're
my man.
You're doing a radio show today?
I am.
A radio show, 4 hours of sports coming up.
Lots of sports in today.
Would you like to know what I did yesterday afternoon? I thought, I'm doing something a little naughty.
Oh, Sprague's getting naughty on a Tuesday?
And I think Dirt would actually be looking at me weird and then say, I'll get naughty with you.
Oh, you want me to get naughty with you? I'll get naughty with you.
Now, this is not stemming from our off-the-air Jeff Rust conversation type of naughty.
Okay, not that kind of naughty.
Not that kind of naughty. Not a kind of naughty that you ask.
No, that one didn't get thrown out.
I don't know if I want to join in that kind of naughty. I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass on that one to each their own. Whatever you want to do on a Tuesday, you do on a Tuesday, buddy.
If I invited you to that, I think we'd have to have a real honest conversation about
the show.
What
are you doing this afternoon, bro? You want to come over? Watch some karate? Channel 9.
No, you know what a Dutch rudder is?
I think I'm okay, man. I'm about to pass on that one.
I did have somebody text me yesterday and say, you know, listening to you guys talk about how Dirt met his wife and you being involved in some small capacity, said the thing I think that most surprised me wasn't that you just said out loud, I'm not your wife's type. I said that's a very good point by you, but I also think that goes without saying.
Yeah, you know, yeah, teach their own, right?
The naughty thing I am alluding to, I rewatched. Why? Well, I can't tell you that because it might involve Statter Story. I rewatched the 1995 Penn State Oregon Rose Bowl.
Yesterday, you did. Was it on TV or did you find it on YouTube?
Oh, I went on YouTube.
Yeah. Is the entire game on there? Can you find the entire thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a walk down memory lane.
Did you get
lane.
Keith? Was that
Keith Jackson?
Whoa, no.
Was he with Bouncy or who was? Do you remember?
That's a great. I think it was. I don't know. I can't confidently tell you if it was Fauci or not. I was more just in love with hearing Keith Jackson do.
Yes, and Kid Jonna Carter.
Yes, Kerry Collins.
Yes.
Danny O'Neill.
Josh Wilcox.
Josh Wilcox.
O'Neill, underrated part of that game. I mean, the start of it kind of set the tone for everything,
pretty much.
Right? Oregon gets a couple first downs, and then they stall. Kid Jonna Carter, touchdown.
I believe it was Bob Greasy who called the game.
There you go.
Greasy was the color analyst.
Underrated part of that game was the beginning because O'Neill has Wilcox for a streaking down the middle touchdown, and he just completely underthrows him.
Look at you breaking down the 1995 Rose Bowl. I did not think that was going to happen. That was not on my bingo card for today.
Well, I want to be in a trust tree with you today in every capacity. Yeah. I don't remember watching the game
Neither
live.
I was too young.
Well, I was old enough to have watched it. I just don't remember watching it live.
Yeah. I remember being a very big deal. I was like 6 years old, I think, when it happened. It was a massive deal that they got to a Rose Bowl. It was the first time in forever to win the cut. Like, everything that went into it, I remember there being like a groundswell of support of like, oh, my God, we're playing Penn State in the Rose Bowl. And like the local kids that were on the team. It was a very big deal. But I don't remember a lot of details
about
the game. I remember
it pretty much being over almost before it started.
Yeah. It was not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess
the programs were in very different spots in 1995.
I was just out of college, so there's a good chance I was hungover as hell.
But you were watching.
On New Year's
Day. I was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Lanning.
Because prior to 1995, when was the last time a team from the state of Oregon played in a Rose Bowl?
Was it the Beavs in the 60s?
Probably the Beavs in the 60s, yeah.
So
I would guess. I can't remember. I don't think Oregon went to one for a long time.
I don't know Oregon's history of the Rose Bowl. Prior to that one, because before that, it's the Beavs in the 60s and the Beavs in the 40s. I don't know what Oregon's history is with the Rose Bowl.
Oregon had won one. I remember when they beat Wisconsin to finally win a Rose Bowl in 2011. It was their first one in, like, however many years.
Toffers.
Exactly. That long. It had been a long time.
Lanning is absolutely 100% right. Now, we've already said this on
the
air.
It had to have been the Beavs, by the way. Oregon's last one before 1995 was 1958.
There you go.
Okay, that was the last Oregon State, Oregon State.
Was that the Len Casanova days?
Sure. You'd know. You were there.
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
Lanning is 100%.
Start in.
Why?
Wednesday, you're just right there. You're going to just start in like that.
You're the one laying it up for me.
Those are Len Casanova days. I don't have my history book for the 1958
Ducks. I was looking at him. He's the duck honk. I wasn't looking at you.
1958's no counties in my book.
Well, you're dropping names from the 50s as if we're up on our 1950s.
It's not like he doesn't have a couple of buildings named after him.
I know the Casanova Center. That I know. I can't tell you how he was as a player, but I know there's a building named after him on campus. So he must have done something right.
Lanning is 100% accurate when he says the season should be wrapping up on New Year's Day.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the way the calendar should work. You start in week zero.
Yep.
You don't have a long layoff after the regular season.
Into the playoffs.
You jump right into the playoffs the first week of December, and you crown a champion on January 1st, and your season is over.
Yeah.
And then we get the one-time portal window that opens, on January 10th or whatever the date is now?
Yep.
Boom.
Yep.
Kids transfer. It's your off season. February hits. Your roster's set for next year.
I think that's the thing about that window is there's a lot of teams that can take advantage of it, whereas some of the power players, they're really good at roster management, but they're kind of also involved in, the playoff.
If you're still playing, your season is still going, and you have to have guys on your roster make the decision, am I staying or am I transferring?
Whining and crying to the point where his beard was running.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, his beard was melting off. He was that upset about this, that his beard started dripping.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he went full Rudy Giuliani on us.
I was going to say Tim Taylor, but...
Oh, too soon. Too soon. He never dripped. He never dripped.
He dripped.
That was a strong...
What was that, sweat?
Dye job. That was a strong dye job.
Diet Coke sweat? Is that what you're accusing that of?
It's charcoal. He wrote a little charcoal in his hair.
You know
what? That's all it was. He was starting up his grill.
We can laugh now because guess what he did after that moment? He embraced it.
He did.
Yes, he did.
He stopped doing the dye job.
That's right.
He dyed his hair and his beard and it just looked... Or not beard. I guess he never had a beard.
It was his
hair. Yeah, he dyed his hair and it was... It was... It stood out like a sore thumb.
We're spicy on a Wednesday.
He went Colin. Remember when Colin first went to Fox? I think his first show. He showed up.
Blonde orange.
Oh, he had the orange
hair. It just was like, where did that come from, dude? Like, whoever was your PR strategist telling you to do that, they missed the mark, man. We all can tell that you dyed your hair.
I said this.
We've seen you up close in person.
We know when there's a little gray mixed in there, and that's okay. You're old. It's okay to have gray hair.
I said this kind of under my breath yesterday on the air. Tim Brando is egregious with his dye job right now.
Yeah, Tim Brando's is pretty bad.
The veneer pearly whites and the dyed brown hair.
Hey!
At your age, come on. who are you fooling there? Huh?
His fake teeth and the fake hair. Just let it go, man. Who are you trying to fool? You're not fooling anybody.
You know
who else is really bad right now? And his age. Every time I see it's like, oh my God, because he is, for the most part, the work hasn't been terrible, but the dye job is still very dark. Bob Costas has this. Like, Bob Costas, to me, still has, like, he's trying to pull off that he's 53 years old. He's 73.
Oh, yeah.
73.
And he still, he doesn't need the work.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not like he looks like, he would look older without the work that he's got done and the dye job that he pulls off with his hair, because his hair, he allows the like sideburns to be kind of gray, like that's his trick of like, see, I got a little touch of gray, and then everything up top is like jet dark brown.
Well, yesterday, 2 days ago, I was doing stuff post the show, and I was talking to Swag, and as I was talking to Swag, he started responding, and I just started staring. It's amazing how gray Swag's beard is, but his hair's still relatively blonde brown.
It's usually how it goes for a lot of people. The beard kind of goes first, and then the hair follows afterwards.
Well, I wasn't accusing him of dyeing his hair, because I know he doesn't, but I was I was wowed, one, by his hair, but two, by the color difference between the beard and the main hair.
Make you want to check the carpet?
No, not in any way.
Not curious about that?
No, I didn't get threatened by him yesterday, though.
You did? Whoa, things got spicy yesterday.
Yeah, he kind of came at me.
Like a spider monkey?
Aggressively, yeah. I didn't think it was warranted to go that aggressive.
His gizzard.
I was almost wondering if he was more mad at something on his work plate that then he then threw at me.
Is this about licking him on the cheek?
No, is that what we got upset about? No.
Wasn't even bothered by that.
Not even that. So that wasn't it. Was it the tickle comments?
Yes.
The tickle comments. No. Yeah. You didn't want to get tickled.
That response gets elicited by anybody who starts into the tickling conversation.
You're an anti-tickle?
Yeah.
And don't tickle me?
I come up swinging.
I did the little
you tickle, you're going to get punches thrown?
I did the little zzz, right in the side with the finger, just joking after the show.
Sure. You like messing with him.
Well, and I've done it three times, and it's always been fun. I did it yesterday, and he goes, "You tickle me, and I'll punch you in the face."
I come up swinging.
I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You tickle me, and I'll swing." And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I will acknowledge, I'm not a swinger when it comes to, well, don't pull that. I won't swing on you if you tickle me. That's what I meant to say. I won't swing on you if you tickle me.
I don't know that sounds any better.
But that, touche. But I'm also very anti being tickled. I can't stand being tickled.
Well, who's pro tickle?
I think some people like it. Some people probably have a tickle kink. I guarantee you there's people with a tickle kink.
Well, I'm not saying there's not a tickle kink, but
it's like
normal.
Who's into feet? Like, feet are gross. There's people out there into feet, man.
Normal people, though, wouldn't say they're pro being tickled.
Some people like it. Some people like a good giggle after a tickle.
The feet kink is like a 70-30 split. I think the pro to anti-tickle is like a 90-10 split.
Should I put up a poll question? Do you enjoy being tickled?
Yeah, I don't think people are going to say yes to that.
Let's see what the responses are at the end of the show.
Here's the other thing I said to him, because he got so aggressive about it. When was the last time you got tickled? And the only one I can come up with is my kids trying to get me back.
Yeah.
I'm ticklish, but I'm very good at, if my kids try to get me back and tickle, I can, hold it in, and they'll think I'm not ticklish.
Yes, because you don't want to give them the satisfaction of making you laugh after a tickle.
Right, right.
Because then they're going to want to keep tickling you.
Yeah, because I tickle them.
Yes, you got to tickle your kids.
It's funny.
It's tickling kids is fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. It is. It's a good time.
Right.
Right. Head's out of the gutter. It's a lot of fun.
Well, head wasn't in the gutter there.
My niece and nephew try and tickle me all the time, too. They do the same thing. And to be fair, kids are really bad ticklers, too. They don't have the soft touch that's necessary in the appropriate spots for the tickling.
Right.
Usually it's just kind of grabbing a fat roll on the side. And it's like, that's just a fat roll. That's not going to make me laugh.
Now, how quickly are you dead if you try to tickle Mario Cristobal after a loss?
Within 4 seconds. Within four seconds. Yeah, that's you're in some sort of jujitsu chokehold that I've never heard of before, and you're not going to breathe for a while.
You think Lanning is super don't tickle me
after
I'll swing
a game? Yeah. Is it a win? I bet if he beats Penn State this weekend and you gave him a tickle, he'd probably give you a giggle.
He probably helps you tickle himself.
He'd he'd tickle you back, maybe. You get a little Pillsbury Doughboy action back and forth.
Trent Bray?
He does not seem like the tickle type.
No.
Not seem like the tickle. I got the poll question up. Okay. Do you enjoy being tickled?
You know who needs to be tickled today?
Who?
Mike Gundy.
Yeah, he could use a tickle.
He could use a good tickling. He's laughing about something.
Why do you let him do the Monday press conference and then fire him on Tuesday? Can anybody make sense of that?
If Barnes fires Bray after losing to Houston Friday, we're going to have the same kind of why did you do what you just did?
Well, it's just I get the firing in the middle of the season. He literally walked out and had to do a press conference on Monday preparing the media.
Telling you how he wasn't leaving.
Right. I'm still the guy and we're playing Baylor this weekend. And then 18 hours later, you're not. See you later, buddy.
Well, poll question is up. We're in on a little ticklish, feisty Wednesday here. We have two guests today.
We do.
We're going to do a peekaboo of Washington, Ohio State with their sideline reporter, Elise Woodward. I've known Elise Woodward for a very long time. I worked with her at KJR and Comcast Sportsnet.
Yeah, she's done sidelines for a long time for the Huskies.
Also color commentator for the Storm.
Yes.
The Portland Fire are pissing everybody off here locally.
Hey, stay in your lane. What are we doing here?
Well,
stay in your lane.
They wanted their lane to be more than the Fire.
You don't get any orange chicken, okay? Why don't you hire a coach, and then you can get some orange chicken.
We'll get into that story. If you haven't heard about that, Swag alerted us to it, so I went and read the article before the show today. We'll get into that today. It's a Statter Story and a Lucy Birds Wednesday. Loaded show. Let's get it going. Big stuff in sports happened last night. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alperoon Sengun, amount of days away from the tip-off of your Portland Trailblazers. 28.
28 days away.
He is far and away, even though he is still in his young 20s, the best number 28 to ever wear the number. Unless you want to go with your guy.
Who's my guy?
Rui Hachimura.
Rui, at a second-round pick. Colin. Yeah, I mean, that's not really close. Sengun's a better player.
28-29, not a lot of great
numbers.
It'd be
kind of cool to be the guy, though, that like you pick a number that nobody's ever really worn before, and you could become, even without like a Hall of Fame career, you could be the best player in NBA history with said number.
We'll get to some Blazer stuff today. I actually had a Blazer segment, and then I read ownership battle stuff in a lawsuit, and so I got like a little pile on of some Blazer stuff
today.
We got
a double dip Blazer segment today.
Well, media day is almost here.
Media day is on Monday.
Monday.
I love all the Mondays. Not that they had any choice in this, but of course it's the Monday after Oregon Penn, like the biggest college football game locally of the year.
Yeah. We'll see how much anybody talks about it outside of their own stuff.
Sure.
But Tuesday, definitely worth mentioning.
Tuesday, we will, because I don't think they start until we're basically off the air on Monday.
9 a.m. they start.
Yeah, we're not going to have anything live on Monday. We'll react to it Tuesday.
Look, I understand yesterday the Mariners getting a one-run win against the Colorado Rockies, clinching their postseason eligibility.
Welcome to October. Yeah, Mariners, welcome to October.
They still have a little bit more to accomplish.
Yes, they have a division they want to win that they haven't won since 2001.
It's over, right? Didn't the Astros lose again yesterday?
The Astros lost. Their magic number is one.
So they're going to win the division.
One win or one Astros loss in the last week. But they're still, more importantly, they're still... they're right now in the slot for a first-round bye.
They're fighting for
the bye in the wild card.
They're trying to be a bye. But I actually, so yesterday I was at my daughter's soccer practice, and I was extremely tired. Yesterday caught up to me bad because I was up late the night before. But I'm listening to a couple, some parents right next to my wife and I, and they're having a quiet conversation that I can hear, and I'd never seen this before in my life. Detroit Tiger fans in the wild.
Oh, out in the public.
In Damascus, Oregon.
They exist? They're out there?
Dude, they were like watching the play-by-play and they're like giving, oh my God, he just blew the sixth. And the wife is chiming in, I can't believe they couldn't get the bunt
now,
out. And I'm like,
it's like the
what?
Version of Schulte and his wife talking M's out in public, just glued to Detroit Tigers baseball. I mean, I'd imagine you're pretty depressed right now if you're a Tigers fan. They keep losing.
They blew a 15.5 game divisional lead over Cleveland yesterday. Scooball loses the guard ball in sixth. And Detroit now has lost a season series against Cleveland. So if they finish in a tie, Cleveland wins that tiebreaker. The Guardians are 17-3 September 3rd. Detroit is 5-12 in that same span.
Just sinking like a stone.
Sinking like a stone. Scooball's throwing a behind his no look, like through his legs throw on a bunt that was like what
like
are
a
you
beaver
doing?
Center snapping an extra point.
Way over the head, goes to the 50. I have no idea what they're doing in Detroit right now. And I went and looked this up. This would be the biggest blown divisional lead in Major League Baseball era in this divisional era.
Yeah,
ever.
That's the biggest one that's ever happened.
It's the biggest one that I saw. I went and looked up the fastest divisional lead lost.
This has to be in the category, or at least in the running.
So the one I saw said the Mariners actually did this.
In 95?
95 when they tracked down the Angels.
The Angels were, to win the division, but in a span of a season, they blew a 10-game lead in 24 games.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so I think they own the quickest it's ever happened.
That's
now,
pretty damn
I
quick.
Thought the Tigers blew. They were up 11.5 in about the same time. Like, it's been like 20, 21 days.
I'd have to go check the days, but when I saw it, prior to this, it was the Mariners a couple years ago when they blew that 10-game lead in 24 games.
To sum it all up, how their season is going, they had their ace on the mound last night. In the sixth inning, they're up by two in a must-win game. 2-0, ace on the mound, he's dealing. The Guardians went bunt single, the bunt leading to the air, infield single, wild pitch, balk, ground out, 3-2 lead Cleveland.
And he
a ball didn't leave the infield against one of the best pitchers in baseball.
And then
they blew a 2-0 lead.
Scoobel drilled a guy in the nose trying to bunt.
That was, yeah.
If you go and watch the post game, I saw some quotes from him. It doesn't read well. I'd have to go watch it, but I saw some quotes that basically he was like, yeah, they got lucky. A bunch of bunts and bad throws, and I'm like, you're not wrong, but
you're not wrong, but you can't say that after a game, especially when you've been imploding for the last 6 weeks.
Swag was like, oh man, we might get Guardians M's in the ALCS, and I went, we'll have the lowest rating at ALCS of all time if that happens.
Yeah, Guardians M's ALCS would not rate very well.
Who did the Royals beat when they made their World Series run?
It's a great question.
Which World Series?
They went to two of them.
Yeah.
The most recent one.
The one that they won?
The year that they won the
was that 20? 21?
No. Toronto Blue Jays. They beat the Blue Jays in six games in 2015.
I'd go look and see what those ratings were.
I don't remember that series at all.
Exactly.
Like, at all. That
I remember,
series.
I think that was the playoffs that Jose Bautista hit the bomb in the first round. That I remember. I remember the Royals wild card game. It might have been the year before when they beat the A's in comeback fashion with Lester. Yeah. Yep. And he couldn't throw to first base, and they just kept stealing bases because he had the yips and couldn't throw it over. I remember those, but I can't tell you anything about that ALCS.
What would you feel more confident in betting? The World Series winner or the college football national champion?
Probably a World Series winner. And neither would be very confident right now.
No.
I would say, there's no
confidence.
No confidence
whatsoever.
Come on, like, stop. Outside of your fandoms, there's no confidence of who's winning the World Series.
No.
I did lay a couple bets yesterday.
I'd probably say,
You're going to choose a total blood probably to win college football.
I mean, you go with like Georgia, right? Or pick Ohio State or, you know.
You're not going to bet your team?
I mean, nobody's giving us a chance this year, so it's not our year. Underdogs this weekend. Everybody's sleeping on us.
Number one sleeping. In the SP Plus. But okay.
Keep sleeping. Okay. It's not a real ranking. Yeah.
It's not a real thing.
No. It's just computers, nerds, analytics. I think I would go World Series though.
Okay.
I think I would go World Series.
And who would you bet?
I'd throw my, if I had to bet right now, I'd bet the Phillies.
Really?
I would, yeah.
Okay. And college football?
If I had to bet college football
that's
right now?
Probably tough for me to throw at you. You'd bet your team.
I mean, if I was going to bet on a national champion, I'd want to bet on my team. If you took them out, Miami, I guess.
I think I'd take Georgia.
You just take Georgia?
Yeah. Pedigree, Kirby, you know.
It's there. The talent's there. They got a big one this weekend.
Mario in a tight national championship game against Kirby Smart. buddy.
That is true.
Clinch factor 1,000.
And they can get away with even losing this weekend because they'll be in the playoff no matter what. They're 100%. Not going to lose two more games the rest of the season, and they already got a quality win under the belt on the road at Tennessee.
This is, it's exciting. If you have a fandom involved in this, my team, coincidentally, if they could make the NL playoff, might win the whole thing. They cannot lose right now. It's just unbelievable.
Rattling off dubs. It is a great time of year if your baseball team's in the mix, because every single day you're glued to it. There's changes. There's seeding on the line. There's divisions on the line. Like, it's a really fun time for fans of teams whose baseball teams are good. If your team's out of it, you're just like, can we get to October? Can the playoff? When are the wild card games? Next Tuesday?
Next week.
Wake me up on Tuesday, and I'm excited.
Well, I think you tend to like to make fun of them, but I think you can make a real argument that Mariner fans are the new Cub fans. Lovable losers who, for whatever reason, don't stop believing, and you go, why do you still do this to yourself? Until eventually...
They'll break through eventually.
They have a moment.
They just have to. Unless the world ends, like at some point they will win a World Series. If we get hit with a nuclear bomb, that's not going to happen. But until then, we're going to play baseball for a long time.
There's only two games behind the Blue Jays for the best record in the American
League. Yes. This year is as wide open as we can remember in a long time. Like, the Dodgers came into the year as the thought of the overwhelming, you know, financial juggernaut.
They might still be that.
And they could still win the World Series.
78 different stints to the injured list.
Yeah, it just, you know, they've been up and down. The Yankees, who were in the World Series last year, have been up and down. They're not even in first place in their own division. The Brewers, who have have been one of the best teams in baseball and have the best record in baseball, have the history of what? Choking when it matters most. The Phillies have knocked on the door a couple of times in recent years, but haven't been able to break it down. Is their pitching staff good enough? Like, you go up and down. The Guardians winning the division will be a remarkable story. Does anybody think that's going to continue in the playoffs? Like, there's a bit of Rockies to that in 2007. Like, at some point, your luck's going to run out, right?
Where did the Rockies get in 2007?
They got to the World Series. They got all the way there. And I'm not saying the Guardians getting there would be absolutely remarkable. But my larger point is, again, sometimes your luck's going to wear out, because Screwball is wrong for saying what he said, but he's also not wrong. Like, they took a 3-2 lead without a ball leaving the infield. Part of that is on Detroit and throwing the ball away in box and walks and all that kind of stuff and not playing good defensive baseball. But also, you can't win a 7-game series doing that. You might be able to steal a game, but I don't think you can win a 7-game series against elite pitchers playing that way.
I got a couple carryover thoughts. I'll put a poll question up in this regard of what's happening in Major League Baseball. We got some college football we need to get to. We had a threat yesterday.
Oh.
In college football, we got a threat.
Don't you do this.
Don't you dare do this. And I'll tell you who that is. We got some Blazer news, some Duck Penn State conversation to be had. Durant's break back with more. Cal Raleigh talked to the crowd last night after the game, because you know what baseball does that they've never been wrong about? And I think if it happened in other places, the same people that love it would get really upset if it happened in other sports. Does that make sense? I think
yes. People
that love it for this reason
yes. Would
get really upset if you did it in another sport, and that's celebrate with booze and champagne and right. Celebrating that you made the postseason. Not that you haven't won the division yet.
No, they're going to do it again. If they win the division, they'll do another champagne celebration.
Absolutely.
And then if they win a playoff series, another champagne. You might be getting five more of these things, man.
I mean, it's a long, grueling season.
Why not have fun?
I've never understood why the NBA doesn't always do this. Like, why don't you celebrate?
Clinch the playoffs and go pop some bottles.
And also, I just know from doing this job a long time, the people that love it in baseball would somehow be offended
without
and outraged if the NBA players did it.
Without a doubt. Football, you don't get a lot of the champagne popping. Like, even for Super Bowls, there's not those videos that I can remember of, like, guys in the locker room doing that. It's more of an on-the-field, the confetti, you're celebrating with your family kind of thing.
Well, or the podium where they show
the
up
podium.
Drunk.
You come up drunk to the podium or whatever.
Right.
Football has a little bit of this, though. Like, when you win an AFC title game, you get up there and you celebrate and that, but you don't do it as much in the regular
football,
season.
Football, they wait for the parade. So
the parades, big deal.
I don't know. I just would like to see it in basketball.
It is something that drives a lot of people crazy. But to your point, they have been playing baseball every day since April. So when you're finally and especially for a franchise who's only been once in the last 25 years, like, I don't blame them at all for being excited.
I know they've never been to one, so it's not the exact same. But in some ways, we're a little Mariner-ish out here, right? Like, we used to make the playoffs and just get eliminated most of the time. We haven't been to the finals in a very, very long time.
Two of our best highlights in the last 25 years as a franchise are first-round playoff series wins.
Walk-off shots.
Damian Lillard walk-off shots, which are both in the first round. They were great moments. They were first-round series.
We also have one of the least memorable conference finals appearances in NBA history. Like, nobody remembers the 2019 Western Conference Finals.
Outside of our bubble, and maybe Warriors fans who just remember it because they beat us and swept us in four games without half of their team. Nobody around the country, if you ask who was in that conference finals playing the Warriors, would tell you the Blazers.
Now, I'm on the record of saying I wouldn't do it. I don't know how. You are weird. I think you're one of these people sometimes in my mind where you get why baseball does it. But if the Blazers, because of this Rocket Van Vliet injury, were to make the sixth seed and assure themselves a playoff spot,
and pop bottles in the locker room.
And then pop bottles. I have you in my mind going,
what are we celebrating?
Congratulations, first in 4 years. And I'd be like, didn't you think it was cool in baseball? And you'll go, it's different.
It's real to me, damn it. I don't think I'd be against it. I would chuckle at it a little bit in the NBA, because the NBA has the vibe of, like, most teams don't have a chance to win it going
into
the playoffs.
That's why I'm saying, I'll tell you right now, if I was a coach,
you would allow your team to do it.
I think I'd take the step of being the first one to do it, even if I got mocked the next day.
Here's what I would mock. If you did this clinching the 10 seed for a play-in game, I would mock that.
But
that would get mocked.
Clinch a playoff spot.
If you clinched a playoff spot and you're guaranteed a first-round playoff series and you want to pop bottles, have at it, man.
Like, if Chauncey Billups is the 10 seed this year and they somehow win their two play-in games.
Win the two games to be the 8 seed.
To be the 8 seed.
to get swept in the first round of the playoffs.
I would not be mad.
It's a big celebration parade.
And he wouldn't do it because he's won a title, so he'd be like, no, you only pop when you win it all.
Right.
But if he did it, I wouldn't be mad at him. I'd say, you know what? Good on you. You're not going to beat the one seed.
No, it's not going to happen. This is the crowning achievement of your season. It will not get any better than this.
Right.
And knowing our city and our organization, if they did that this year, we'll probably get a parade or at least some sort of rally in Pioneer Square.
Or another three-year extension.
Or a three-year extension.
Give them a six-year extension for making the playoffs.
They've gone to the playoffs now. We have to extend them. We have no choice.
It'd be pretty great that way.
I mean, I'd be okay with it. I think the NBA should do this more. It's a long, grueling season. It's a lot of games. The season's going to tip off here in the next couple of weeks. And then when do the playoffs begin in the NBA? May? Like, think about how far off that is. That season goes on forever.
I actually, I wouldn't be mad if the NFL did this too. It's so hard to make the playoffs in the National Football League.
We're largely healthy! Like, am I wrong, though? Do football teams do the champagne thing in the locker room where it's all taped over? And They do it for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Super Bowl they do.
Yeah. Okay.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't have a lot of those pictures in my head. I can think of guys like smoking cigars. I can think of the celebration on the field, the podium, the confetti. I don't think of a lot of champagne. Like, there's a lot of memorable champagne poppings that have happened in the NBA and in Major League Baseball.
Well, weirdly, I think it's because the Super Bowl is more geared towards the on-field. It's a very long process.
Yeah. And it is a long celebration process.
More know the post-game press conference. Remember, like Cam Newton being sad while Denver's yelling in the background, or the Eagles breaking through and beating the Chiefs. Sure. You remember the post-game press conference. Whereas, for whatever the reason, basketball and baseball, more you remember the locker room.
I think they want to get done on the floor or on the field as quickly as they can and then sprint into the locker room for the celebration. World Series might be a little bit different, but like this time of year when there's no press conferences and stuff, they run right in there to start popping champagne bottles.
Here's Cal Raleigh last night. If you missed it, I missed this because I don't have Root, but I saw it on the internet, so I know it's true. Cal Raleigh after the Mariners clinched their playoff. I know, I got to be careful, but you never know.
Never know.
This was not AI. Cal Raleigh took the microphone from the PA. I will say this about the Mariners. They get a lot of grief.
Yeah.
I love the Trident celebration.
The Trident's cool.
Yeah, they handed out the PA mic. Julio was up there first, and then Cal had it
and
last.
And then Cal got the mic, and this is what he said.
Thank you, Sam. We love you. Might as well go win the whole f***ing thing.
Yeah, why not?
Short and to the point.
That's all you got
to
say, Cal. Thanks, man.
They caught that live en route in the post-game celebration.
Oh, no.
Poor Aaron Goldsmith.
Too late, damn it.
Cal Raleigh.
No one slipped through the five hole.
Caught up in the excitement.
You're Cal Raleigh right now in Seattle. I think you can do whatever the hell you want to do.
Pretty much.
And I don't think anybody's going to say anything negative.
It has changed over the years. So I went and looked up like the Eagles locker room.
Yeah, like I think more of like when I think even of like national title, my first thing that pops into my mind is Joe Burrow sitting on a couch smoking a cigar.
A little different in college, though.
It is, for sure. I'm not saying it's the same. Because some of the guys are underage.
Here's a locker room one for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
Because of how much the Super Bowl has been corporatized, and because it's such an on-field production now with stage and whatnot, it never used to be that. Remember, and he would know this as well as anybody, How About Them Cowboys was said with wet, drenched booze hair.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In the locker room.
That's a good point.
Next to a backdrop in Jerry Jones.
They used to set up a little mini stage in the locker room, and like whoever, you know, you got like Brent Musburger, they drape a CBS Sports banner, tape one to the wall right where they set them up.
Yep.
And they would do all that. So it's really been in the last maybe 15.
Which is how we should do it. Like, have that be in the locker room.
I tend to agree with
your teammates,
with
all the guys you fought and bled with. Like, that's where it should be celebrated.
Conference championships should be happening on the field with the fans at home.
If it's at home, yeah.
If it's at home. But Super Bowl, I think, should go back. They won't do it because everything's a big production now, and it's entertainment more than it is what's better for the sport. But
yeah, somebody's saying Saquon showing guys how to shotgun beers in the locker room last year. I don't remember that. I remember the Thunder not knowing how to pop a bottle of champagne.
That was famous.
Because none of the young guys had ever done it before, and half of them aren't even 21, I would care to guess. But they didn't know what the hell they were doing, and they had to have a veteran on their team be like, what? No. Like, had to show them how to pop the bottle. That I remember.
I think that's a good point by the listener is, like, maybe that person's not an Eagle fan, but, like, I do think there are moments we can point to and say, no, I saw it. I watched it. I remember it. I vaguely remember the Saquon thing, but it's just bigger for whatever that reason is. The way that celebrations and championships and postseason, it's just such a different culture of it. And the locker room in baseball, basketball, a much bigger deal to watch.
You got to tarp up all the lockers. It's a whole thing.
It's
a process. And then you got to be careful in the close games. In like a game seven, you got to tarp them both up. And then if they lose, you got to untarp it quickly before the team gets in there because they don't want to see that champagne on ice. Yeah.
Famously, the Spurs, they had the champagne bottles. They said they saw them on the Miami bench and they were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're getting ready for the celebration.
You're going to win the title. No, you're not.
Ray Allen, here we come.
Not going to win that title.
Game seven, you lose. There you go. So the Mariners clinched their postseason berth, and the Cleveland Guardians overtake a 15.5 game deficit against the Tigers.
Remarkable, man. Remarkable. Rooting for them in the playoffs. It'd be a lot of fun.
Detroit's lucky that Michigan won at Nebraska and the Lions won at Baltimore, because it could be very depressing right now in Detroit.
At least you got two things going for you.
It is 6:43. We have a college football threat, and we have a pretty massive injury that happened yesterday. It was announced in the sport. I want to talk Oregon Penn State again because, well, it's a big college football game, and we'll get a peekaboo with Elise Woodward, the sideline reporter for the Huskies at 8 a.m. for the Daily Ticker as the Huskies host Ohio State. 6:43, Durton's break, back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get into a lot in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about Oregon heading to Penn State. I got some stuff on that I want to get into with you.
Let's do it.
We got a massive injury in college football announced yesterday.
Let's shake up the Heisman race a little bit.
And we have open threats, and I find it very odd, but this is the time and place in our society to just be openly threatening people. So I guess I shouldn't be that surprised.
It's now reached the levels of college football.
Drew Brees has been consumed by the hot take monster. Another one got somebody.
Yeah, he was on First Take this morning saying the Eagles offense is the most boring offense in the NFL to watch. I can't stand watching Philly. Welcome to the club, Drew.
They're really good. They're boring. Oh.
Oh.
Thanks, Drew.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Is there some sort of weird oath? Yeah. Sell your soul if when you go on that show.
If you want to cut through on media, yeah, that's what you got to do nowadays. He tried it the straight way. He tried to be Drew Brees. Come on. He tried it the normal Drew Brees way.
I didn't say anything.
You're giving me the eyes. Your own problems.
You're giving me
morning.
The eyes. Get your heads out of the gutter. And it was not very good. And so now he's trying to have a media career, and this is the only thing that he can do.
I think that's the unfortunate part is he did try to be a play-by-play guy. He was very vanilla in it. They fired him, and he's like, right. No, I want back in.
No.
I think these guys look at those paychecks and go, why can't I make that?
He went Rudy in the drill. Give me another chance, coach. I could do it. Now he's back in the drill giving hot takes.
You know who famously did this really well before he got canceled was Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp was this early in his career.
Because he was on CBS and it was like,
yeah,
cool, nice take.
Not a lot there.
And then he came back and he's like, skip,
LeBron, go.
What?
Also airing on his Instagram stories, him clapping cheeks. Whoa, Shannon, dude. Settle it down a little bit.
I would argue that was the beginning of the end, actually, not the beginning of the beginning.
All good PR is good PR, right?
Interesting stuff in the National Football League this weekend. I'm going to ask you something that's very dangerous to ask out loud.
Ask it.
If the Chiefs lose to the Ravens, where are you at? Because I read an article by Ian O'Connor, who is a national writer for The Athletic, and it's stemming off of the Sunday Night Football performance of one, Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, how great was that fumble recovery?
I mean, it did kind of save the momentum.
Did. It did, yeah.
I thought he was pretty good in the game. But
I know, I chuckle at that stuff of Mahomes sometimes. Everything that he does is the greatest thing we've ever seen every time that he plays.
You hate Patrick Mahomes
I
and
do,
Jalen
yeah.
Hurts. It's been so abundantly clear. But I am asking,
it's not a jealousy. I just hate teams that win. That's usually how it goes. Whoever wins this year, I'll probably end up hating them too.
So if the Chiefs lose to the Ravens, which is very possible,
yes,
where are we going to collectively be at? Because I know we have not our show only, but a lot of people around, I think, the world of football been trying to say, this will not be Patriots 2. They will not go 20. It's going to end. And the Super Bowl certainly didn't end on a high note for them.
Nope.
No.
But Ian O'Connor's like, bet against Patrick Mahomes at your own peril. He scares you the most of any quarterback in a must-win game. I don't care what you point to. It's a fact. That was basically the article. And I went, I don't think he's wrong there.
No, not right now.
But if the Chiefs fall to 1-3, I just think
my antenna are up. I think you look at it. They went to 3 straight Super Bowls. All of that extra, you know, attrition.
That division's harder though, man.
The
Denver
division's
the
really
not going
good.
Away.
That's the one difference. I don't remember the Patriots ever. The AFC East was stacked. Like they're might, you know, the Bills started to build up and were
the Bills
good.
Are getting that benefit now.
They absolutely
everybody
are.
Else in that division sucks.
They're horrible.
Yes,
but you know the Dolphins every once in a while had a somewhat competitive team. The Jets sucked for most of their existence, but it wasn't stacked the way it's seemingly stacked in the AFC.
Do you know the last time the Dolphins won the AFC East?
Oh God, a long time ago,
25 years.
Oh wait,
yeah.
Do you know the last time the Jets won the AFC East?
Did they do it in one of those 2 years with Rex Ryan?
Nope.
No, those are wild card teams, huh?
Oh,
nope.
Okay. So if it wasn't then, Vinny Testaverde?
0-2.
Yeah.
So, like, the Patriots took advantage of the Bills being down and everybody else has largely been terrible. The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since 0-1.
No.
Yeah.
And so now the Jets suck, the Dolphins are not good, and the Patriots are not ready the way that some thought they might be. Teams benefit from bad divisions. We've seen that. The Chiefs don't get that benefit anymore. So I'm just asking. No. I'm not saying you're going to say they don't make the playoffs, but where we're at, depending on how it looks against Baltimore, who we know, despite the record, is a good team.
Without a doubt. They could easily be 3-0 at this point in the season. They just got to figure some things out defensively. Thankfully for them going into this game, I don't know if Kansas City's offense is scaring anybody right now, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, because of the injuries that they have at wide receiver. Like, I already was there with Kansas City even before they won on Sunday night. I'm not changing my tune because they beat a horrible Giants team with Russell Wilson throwing the ball out of the end zone multiple times at the end of the game. I think they got issues on offense. Now, it might get corrected as the season goes on and they get guys healthy and Rice comes back from suspension and Worthy comes back. Maybe they got some downfield threats and they start to unlock things a little bit. I don't think Kelce is what he used to be, and I think there's already cracks in the dam. So my opinion hasn't changed, and I'm going to stay on that opinion. I think their run led to other teams in the division realizing there is a sense of urgency, and if we don't do something here, they're going to dominate us for the next decade. Mm-hmm. And I think at least right now the Chargers have answered that call, and I would pick them to win the AFC West right now.
Well, and the Broncos are certainly a thorn in the side. I think they play them very tough. They're a tough defense. We know when the offense can operate, it can be a pretty good offense.
And the next 6 weeks they got to play out, not counting the Ravens. If they lose to the Ravens, they got the Lions at home, who seem like a wagon again, and then they go on the they got the Commanders at home on a Monday night. And then they go on the road to Buffalo. So it's not an easy stretch in the next 6 weeks.
They don't really get blown out even in those big games.
No.
They're always like, even the Philly game,
right? They're not going to get blown out in any of those games, but you could lose close games. They won a lot of close one-score games last year, and sometimes that stuff evens out.
I just think that's probably the most important game this weekend of like, I can't believe one of these teams is going to be 1-3, but should be noted for your schedule look ahead, Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, two guys that will be back for them.
Yes.
And so they're still able to operate. Thornton's been a great addition for them. Man, Patriot fans, close your eyes. It's been great, but they're going to get some weapons back. Even if they fall to 1-3, they're eventually going to get some of those weapons back to help Mahomes.
I think the question is it too little too late for the division? If the Chargers pick up another win this weekend against the Giants and they lose, you'd be 3 games back. And there's 13 games to go, and you've already got a head-to-head loss against
them. I don't think they should be worried about division stuff. I think with that team and that quarterback, to Ian O'Connor's point, just get in the dance and then scare anybody the minute that guy walks through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Loaded second hour. We'll pivot into some college football. We got a big injury announced. We got an open threat in college football. And we'll talk some Oregon and Penn State. Hour number 2, Durant Sprague on 105.1 The Fan in the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.